What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Omega Metroid Podcast. It is a beautiful Tuesday evening, and we are here for some beautiful Switch 2 news, some exciting Nintendo news. We're going to jump right into it, really. We got some exciting stuff that was announced this past week, and we were going to record the show yesterday, but then this news dropped. We figured, why not? We're going to talk about this. I'm Dak, alongside your boy Doom. Doom, how you doing, man? How's your May so far?
It's been pretty exciting. Like I said, a few episodes ago, moved into a new house, and I was just telling you in the pre-show, all these boxes are eventually going to be moved out in a couple days because I got some display cases coming in where we're going to slowly start putting up all the Metroid merch, and so you guys are finally going to be able to see that for the first time, like just right there in the background frame when we start recording. So I'm very excited for that. And then, yeah, like you just mentioned, we were originally going to record yesterday, but my internet actually went down, which I thought was bad news, but it turned out to work very well because we got some bombshells dropped today that definitely take precedent and should be covered immediately. But yeah, otherwise, how are you doing, man? What games have you been playing recently?
Oh, man. Let's see. I mean, I could pull up my Steam, but I guess I won't. I've been mostly like I was mentioning on the last time I was on the show. I've been on racing games lately. I've been playing a lot of Formula One, a lot of iRacing. In fact, the stock car series I do in iRacing this week is on the Charlotte Motor Speedway, which is one of my favorite. I love racing the super speedways, so excited for that. Playing Fortnite. I'm playing some Rocket League recently as well. My roommate got me back into that, so that's been fun. So yeah, I've been gaming on that. And yeah, what a coincidence that we are going to have. I think we're going to do like a ranking episode. We're going to talk about, I think, like escape sequences or final bosses, which I'm sure we'll talk about in the coming weeks. And then suddenly crazy news dropped and figured let's get everyone, as many people as we could, together to talk about it. So we got the two of us together. Here we are. And I'm excited about that because it's actually, I mean, it was kind of Nintendo's like casual just dropping news in the middle of a tweet like they did with like the Super Mario Brothers movie and other things. But sometimes that's more than enough. So yeah, I'm excited to dig into that. I'm excited to be excited for some Switch 2 stuff and Metroid stuff again, because we also got some information on how Metroid on Switch fared sales-wise. We got a lot of information on how the Switch is doing, how Nintendo's, financial report is done, which, if you're into that kind of stuff, is definitely interesting as we move into kind of the end of the Switch's life cycle, and we look forward towards the next installment of Nintendo's, main system hardware. So excited for that, and I figure that's pretty much all we got to talk about tonight. So let's jump right into that, Doom. Why don't we kick things off with the actual tweet itself that kind of spurred off all the big news. Of course, we've all been waiting for the successor for the Switch for years now. We've been talking about it on this show, I think, for years. And now I think this is the first official reference to the Switch 2, or the successor to the Switch, rather, that we've heard at all. So Doom, why don't you take us into that?
Yeah, pretty much. And because like you said, it's, on one hand, it's a whole lot of nothing, but on the other hand, it's a whole lot of everything, because really, I feel like the tweet pretty much confirms what a lot of us were guessing, or what's been reported on by major gaming outlets. But as you just mentioned, this is the first time Nintendo has officially acknowledged a new console. We all knew they were making one, and we knew it was coming out soon, but the fact that they're acknowledging it now means that we're actually getting somewhere. We're not quite at the runway yet. But we're finally moving away from the gate. We're getting going finally.
We're on the tarmac.
And so exactly, yeah. It's very exciting. So let's actually read the tweet right here. So this is from the NCL account, so based up in Japan. And the translated version reads, "This is Furukawa, president of Nintendo. We will make an announcement about the successor to Nintendo Switch within the fiscal year." Now this is a key word right here, fiscal year. So this doesn't mean at the end of December. Nintendo's fiscal year begins in March, so the cutoff period here is the end of February, actually. So important to point that out. "It will have been over 9 years since we announced the existence of Nintendo Switch back in March 2015. We will be holding a Nintendo Direct this June regarding the Nintendo Switch software lineup for the latter half of 2024, but please be aware that there will be no mention of the Nintendo Switch successor during that presentation. And so, yeah, it's
huge.
This is it right here. We are now officially in that transition period between the Switch 1 and this Switch successor. And yeah, it's still going to be a little bit before we hear about it, because we're not going to be hearing about it in June, but we're going to be hearing about it sometime before the end of February 2025. And I don't know, do we want to go over kind of what this announcement means first? Do you want to go into kind of like, when do you think we'll actually be seeing the Switch 2?
I mean, I guess the first thing I wanted to kind of go into is my reaction, because I think this is just like firsthand reading that tweet again. You know, it's kind of wild that it really has been so long. March 2015, I was a senior in college. I'm now in my 30s. So like literally it's been 9 years. I was like, it's just insane how much time has passed. And that really kind of just, I mean, it obviously goes to show the longevity of the console, right? Like Nintendo has seen so much success from the system, as we'll go into later. And it's just wild to see what they've been able to accomplish on this system alone. I think kind of the most interesting thing is that we will be getting that confirmed direct in June to go into more of what the rest of the lineup is for the rest of the year for the Switch. Because to me, I think we kind of felt that like what we had seen for the Switch was kind of it, you know, at least for me, I kind of felt like what we've seen so far, that was kind of it, like Paper Mario 1000 Year Door. And then, you know, next system or something. So this is implying to me that we might be getting a little bit more than that. What that is remains to be seen. And yeah, like you said, this is something that could, you know, it could be an announcement next February, and we don't see this console until, you know, summer of next year, potentially, especially if there's going to be some new games we don't even know about coming out in the later this year. So definitely something to unpack, obviously not too much, but there is a little bit to unpack here. But overall, it is exciting that we are getting some new game announcements that we don't know about potentially for the Switch for the rest of the year. And obviously the announcement of the console itself, which we most likely are going to see like fully within the next year at some point, like calendar or not, like we're going to be seeing it in the next 365 days, it seems. So that's really exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of the big thing right there. Cause it's like, you know, even if we feel confident that we're going to see the Switch soon, to have it officially announced, like, yes, you are going to see this next Switch sometime within, you know, these next few months up until at least the end of February 2025. To have that officially confirmed, you know, tattooed, set in stone, however you want to put it, to me, it feels more like a relief than anything. Like, okay, we finally reached this point.
Yeah, and it really kind of gets me thinking, like, what is the Switch 2 really going to be? Because just before this announcement, we've been seeing a lot of rumors, which I don't think we've really talked about on the show, about, like, some leaks of what the Switch is and the hardware and the specs and whatnot. And we've talked about this on the show before, of what we kind of want from the Switch or what we expect from it. And I'm certainly someone who would probably be fine with a Switch, you know, HD or Switch Pro that we've kind of talked about, where it's like stronger, better specs, whatever. But now that it's like a real thing, and they're really, obviously Nintendo is going to release a system sooner or later, but like now that it's really a real thing and it's announced, I'm thinking like, what is the Switch 2 like, or the successor, like really going to bring to the table that the Switch doesn't? And I think that's kind of the most exciting thing. Like, what is that killer hook that like people who have the Switch already, what's going to make them be like, okay, what makes, I need a Switch 2 now. I might need multiple Switch 2s. You know, what's that kind of killer hook? The Switch obviously has, you know, portable and home kind of stuff, the controllers and all of that. But like, I can't wait to see what that killer hook is going to be, if there is one, because I would have to imagine there's going to be, if they think they're going to follow up on the success of the Switch.
Yeah, I've said this before, and I don't necessarily think there's going to be a killer hook. I think what we're going to see is something like the DS to the 3DS, where, you know, there is definitely, you know, the 3DS, obviously it's in the name, it's got the 3D capabilities, but at the end of the day, it's a souped up DS. And I feel like that's going to be the main point of the Switch. You know, it's a souped up Switch, which means, you know, the games are going to be better. And most importantly, third parties are going to be able to start porting more games over that they just couldn't on the Switch before. Or if they were able to, you know, they just ran really poorly at like a PowerPoint frame rate or something like that. And so I feel like that's going to be kind of the main point of the Switch 2. At the same time, though, I do think that there will be something else to go along with it. I don't think it's just going to be like, oh, it's Switch, but, you know, on steroids now.
Yeah, I'm excited for what that is. I've seen stuff like maybe it's going to be some kind of like hub console where you can, you know, connect like way more players to a single console than you can for one system or something. Like I've seen stuff like that, you know, the magnetic controllers and updates to that. And obviously a stronger screen, a stronger, you know, better looking games is a hook as well.
I really do hope the Joy-Cons get a major update because like even though I'm not really a portable gamer, I do most of my gaming at home. One of the biggest hurdles for me is those Joy-Cons and like the incredible pieces of technology and like really forward thinking. But for me, at least, I find them super uncomfortable to hold. The buttons are too small. The joysticks are too tiny and just everything about them. And especially like when you're doing on the side, I mean, I don't even think that's worth it personally. Yeah. Meanwhile, the Pro Controller, I think that's one of the best controllers I've ever held in my life. The Pro Controller is so great. Really just add a headphone jack and maybe some analog triggers and that's otherwise it's perfect.
Well, I'm excited to see what they have for us because we're going to be finding out soon. We also found out a bunch about how Nintendo is performing financially and Doom. I mean, some of these results here that we're seeing are actually kind of crazy considering what Nintendo is reporting. There was one tweet that said that Nintendo's profit during the Switch era had surpassed the combined profit that Nintendo had made in 1981 to 2016. So the amount of money that profit they're making from the Switch till now surpassed all of that, which includes the Wii, includes the Wii, which was huge. Super Nintendo, like their biggest successes, like the DS, the Game Boy, like all of that kind of stuff. They're big hitters for decades. The Switch outperforming all of that, absolutely insane.
And to throw more context into it, this also accounts for inflation as well. So it's not just a raw number comparison. This inflation is also factored into this, which I think it makes sense. You know, the Switch, not only is it selling tons of units, but more importantly, you know, statistically speaking, people that buy Switches are buying lots of software for it. And that's where the real money is coming in. You know, the Wii, obviously, you know, the Wii sold a ton of units, but, you know, most of those consumers, you know, some of them didn't even buy a game. They played. That was the Wii Sports machine for them.
Yep.
And then if they did buy a game, you know, maybe they bought like, you know, new Super Mario Brothers Wii or Mario Kart. And that was it. That was all the software they bought. Most Switch owners are, you know, buying like 5+ games for that system. Sometimes, you know, 20+, you know, for some of the more hardcore audiences, which is fantastic.
And think of how many piece of hardware that the Switch are, like how many Switches that are getting all of those pieces of software bought on them. 141.32 million Switches sold globally. That is an insane number. And I think that puts it on its way to being one of the most all-time selling Switch or gaming systems of all time.
Yeah, so, and I think this is a good point to transition into the forecast that they also made in that report, because so right now the Nintendo Switch is Nintendo's second best-selling console of all time. The only console that has outsold it is the DS, which I believe sits at 154.something million. I can't remember the exact decimal on that, but it's about 154, almost at 155. And the PS2 is somewhere between 155 and 160 million, if a Jim Ryan statement before his retirement is to be believed. And so, let's go to Nintendo's forecast here. So right now they're at 141 million. And in that report, Nintendo is forecasting 13.5 million sold by March 2025, which is the start of their next fiscal year. And that if they were able to make those sales numbers, that would get it to surpass the Nintendo DS at the very least and come very, very close to the PS2. So the Switch, at this point, it looks like it's, if this forecast is to be believed, which Nintendo statistically, historically, at least in the Switch years, they've usually underestimated those forecasts a lot. And usually they'll like up those numbers during their Q3 briefings. But let's say that there's no update at 13.5 million. That would top the DS and this would make the Switch Nintendo's best selling console of all time. And I think with the price cut, it absolutely has a chance to take down the PS2 as well.
I still think it's wild that they're, you know, thinking like, okay, the Switch is on its way out. We're still expecting another 13 million more Switches to be sold.
That's a stack. Yeah. 13.5 million. That's more than the Wii U sold in its entire lifetime, I believe. Like that's unreal. Like,
that's where they can't.
Yeah. On a quote unquote slow year for the Switch where it's like a desert.
No, it's actually insane. And again, that's like, how do you even top that? You know, like, where do you go from here? Nintendo's, you know, we look back and like the Wii was kind of Nintendo's like peak before this of, it's like, how did we ever get back to that point? And then the Wii U obviously happened. And now the Switch has surpassed that. So it's like, how do you even wrap your head around something being more successful than the Switch and the Wii? Like, those are two of the most successful consoles of all time in recent memory, for sure. And also historically. So it's wild to kind of think about.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think the Switch 2 does become more successful than the Switch personally. Again, like, you know, the 3DS and the DS, you know, DS was 154 million. 3DS was just shy of 100 million. Still a major success, the 3DS, especially considering that rough first year it had. But I mean, it didn't come close to the DS. And I feel like that's something similar is going to happen with the Switch 2, where it's still an overwhelming success, but it doesn't really come close to those Switch 1 numbers. Because the Switch 1 at the time, it was just so revolutionary. You know, nowadays, you know, you have like Steam Deck, ROG Ally, the Lenovo Legion and all that stuff. The MSI Claw. And, you know, portable console and PC gaming is, you know, so mainstream nowadays. But when the Switch came out, like, and especially with the Joy-Cons, like, that was just, no one had seen anything like that before. And to have it launch with, like, this open world AAA Legend of Zelda game, like, incredible stuff.
Yeah, I think that's such a huge thing, too, is, like, we're also kind of forgetting, like, what's going to be that big killer app in terms of a launch game for the Switch 2, and how is Nintendo looking at that? Because as far as we know, there isn't, you know, a Zelda game on the way. We don't know about a Mario game. I mean, obviously they haven't announced any Switch 2 games, but it just seems unlikely that like there would be a Zelda launch title, for example. So like if they're really trying to make a splash, it would be like Mario or Pokemon or something, I would have to imagine. It's just like, or potentially something else. But you know, it's exciting to think about like, okay, what is that launch strategy, not just hardware wise, but also software wise going into the success?
Well, we do know there's, I can't remember the exact name, but there is that Pokemon Arceus sequel that's coming out in 2025. I could totally see that being a cross-gen title and perhaps launching on Switch 2. And then I also think, I think they just straight up launched with Mario Kart 9. I mean, it's been, you know, in a few weeks, it'll be 10 years since Mario Kart 8 launched on the Wii U. That team has been... the last full game that team worked on was ARMS, which came out a few months after the Switch launched. Some of that team worked on the Booster Course Pass, but for the most part, that team has been hard at work on Mario Kart 9. And, you know, there's that Lego Mario Kart set, which is also coming out in early 2025. It all just feels like it's lining up for, if not a day one launch, then a pretty close launch window, I say, to Mario Kart 9. And that would be, I mean, if you're going to launch a killer app on Switch 2, Mario Kart 9, I think that's the one to go.
It's like Mario Kart, Smash Brothers, like those are games that could definitely do, like we get like realistic Mario Kart 9 or something, like HD Mario Kart. I'm down for that. Yeah, I'm excited about that for sure. All right, well, let's look at, now that we've talked pretty handily about, you know, Nintendo and the Switch in general, Switch 2, let's jump into the more Metroid-specific news of this, of course, that what we've been tracking, at least in terms of being Metroid fans, was how are our most recent big Metroid releases performing on the Switch? So Metroid Dread, Metroid Prime Remastered, how are these games performing? And we did finally get a little bit of an update on both of these games throughout the, you know, at least in terms of their financial performance. We were all talking about, did Metroid Dread sell 3 million units? Do we have proof? Do we have not? Did it really sell 3 million units? I think now we officially can say that it definitely has sold over 3 million units worldwide as of Q4 2022. In fact, out of 67 known first-party million sellers on the Switch that were published by Nintendo, Metroid Dread was ranked at 38 of 67, right around the middle of the pack-ish in terms of million unit sellers published by Nintendo from the first party. And then Metroid Prime Remastered at 58 of 67, selling 1.3 6 million units as of Q2 2023, which I would imagine is probably when the last significant sales happened for the game. So combined, Metroid has sold almost 4.5 million units on the Switch through those two games as we head into the rest of 2024. Doom, any first takeaways on that?
Not really. That's about where I expected to find those games. I could have, for Metroid Dread in particular, I could have sworn we already got that that sales update earlier, because you said it was at 3.3, right? For Metroid Dread?
I don't remember. I don't have it written down exactly. Yeah, I'm not sure if we already had it confirmed, or maybe it was like somewhat confirmed and then like we, or was that like 2.997 or something, or like we assumed it was at 3 million and then, or maybe there was,
well, there,
the official news.
Well there was that, and then Mercury Steam's Jose Alvaro, I think, yeah, he mentioned that the game sold over 3 million, and I believe shortly after that there was a financial briefing where we did get those updated sales figures. So I can't remember though. Then.
So double confirmation that Dread pulled it off, but I guess we also get to see Metroid Prime Remastered at least pulling in. I know, I'm pretty sure we also kind of knew that, but it's good to see kind of the combined sales and where Metroid ended up kind of figuring out in the grand scheme of things in terms of first party, you know, sellers.
Hmm. I will say, like, Metroid Prime Remastered, not a failure at all. Like, the game was a success. I do wish it sold a little more though, I'll be honest, but I feel like it kind of dropped at a weird time. The shadow dropping method, I guess it didn't pan out the way Nintendo wanted it to. But
I don't know. Do we really know that? I feel like it, like they just dropped it, right? They didn't put a lot of marketing behind it. Like I think I saw Reddit ads and YouTube ads for maybe 2 weeks, right? And it still sold over a million units for a remake of a kind of dated style FPS game. Like, I think that's pretty solid.
No, yeah, it's a good sales numbers. I kind of wish it was a little more. That's all.
Of course. Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, it is funny that like Metroid is still so niche, because you look at like the combined sales for Dread and Metroid Prime Remastered. I don't even think they beat like 51 Clubhouse games on Switch or whatever. Which
no, Clubhouse. To be fair, Clubhouse came out at the perfect time during the pandemic. A lot of people leapt on that. But
It's not a surprise though. Like games like that are casual or fun multiplayer, like your Mario Kart, your Clubhouses, like, or your Pokemons, your Animal Crossings, like all those kinds of games just have that broader appeal that like I don't know if Metroid really ever will have, but I do think to see that even a niche kind of genre for the console and just kind of niche IP overall, you know, kind of being a B-ish tier Nintendo or BC tier kind of IP for Nintendo, still selling in the millions, multiple millions, and being above other more notable IPs, even if they are spin-offs for some of those major franchises, I still think is good to see. It's not like Metroid just completely crashed and burned on the system. And the fact that they supported it with, you know, additional ports and digital, you know, virtual console type releases to the system as well suggests that Nintendo seems to be at least some extent happy with how it's going, I think.
Yeah, they're clearly invested in the series, which I think is good. I mean, the fact, and I've said this before, the fact that we're even getting Metroid Prime 4 at all is like proof that they, you know, they have a plan in place and they have faith in this series. Not that it's necessarily going to be like, you know, 20 million seller plus, or frankly, even a 10 million seller plus, but they definitely, yeah, they have faith that this franchise, it has its place in the company, that, you know, there's a fan base who's going to be loyal to this series. Because, I mean, if you think about it, like, Prime 4 could have easily just been canceled. It's like, oh, you know what, we've wasted, you know, almost 2 years of development budget on this super expensive game. Let's just cut our losses here. Yeah, the Metroid fans will be angry at us, but, you know, eventually they'll get over it and they're still going to buy our systems. The vast majority of our console owners don't care about Metroid, whatever. But they did it anyways. And that's not because Nintendo, you know, they were feeling good that day. No, they're a corporation. They're trying to make money. They did it because they think that this is an opportune investment.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think they certainly see value in the Metroid Prime brand for sure, to bring it back and even announce it so early to let people know. But now it's like, okay, how much like time and money and resources that they put into the game, and when are they going to start to want to really recoup on that, on those expenses? So, and how much are they expecting to be able to recoup? Because yeah, I think as much as I would love Prime 4 to sell 10, 20 million units, I think realistically, like, if it sells 5 million units or higher, I'd be pretty happy with that, not going to lie, because that would be better than combined what we're seeing here.
$5 million would be an insane success for that game. I'm not even, obviously, until I see the game, I'm not ready to predict sales figures yet, but $5 million would be ridiculous, I think, for a Metroid game in a good way. Not in a necessarily unrealistic way.
Absolutely. And I think that like definitely would lead credence to them wanting to do more Metroid Prime if they could bring that back and have it outperform the other games. I mean, the fact that Metroid Prime Remastered, even being like a 20-year-old game, technically sold like a third of what Dread did, I think suggests that there's a lot of still gas in the tank for that brand for like an interest in like a new game too. And I think the genre is going to appeal broadly, as we've chatted about on the show before. Any other thoughts here on the, we know these sales numbers aren't entirely new. It is good to see though, but any other thoughts on the sales numbers or fiscal results here for Nintendo?
I will say, and you know, again, this isn't really something new. This is something I've talked about ever since, you know, those initial Dread sales, like back when the game was, you know, only a month old came out. I think the fact that a fully priced $60 2D Metroid became the best selling Metroid game of all time and broke the 3 million barrier is freaking incredible. I think anyone saying that that game was a financial sales flop is insane, especially when you account for that this is Mercury Steam's highest selling game to date in their entire company career, more than their Castlevania games or any of the other games they've done. Metroid Dread is their biggest success. It's Metroid's biggest success. I'm friends with a lot of people that, you know, that say these points, so I don't want to like poo-poo all over them, but I genuinely don't understand how anyone could look at Metroid Dread and be disappointed in those sales figures.
I think, and obviously with the, you know, we're talking about, I mean, this whole episode is partially about these financial results and how these games are doing, blah, blah, but I think also people kind of get caught up in it a little bit too much and worry too much about like how well is this game selling and all that, and like, and I get it, as a Metroid fan we want it to sell well because we want more of it, but sometimes I think it's okay to just not worry about that as much and just because be happy that these games are even great. I think the quality of the game speaks more, if anything, that we're getting such great Metroid games and people want that to some extent at all. I think will, you know, push Nintendo to keep making or having great Metroid games made for those fans who want them.
Yeah. Be glad Nintendo owns Metroid, not Microsoft.
Yeah, you know, there's pros and cons, I think, to everybody owning any particular IP, you know? And I think that's sometimes why it's exciting when we get, like, a new developer like Mercury Steam, thanks to Nintendo, who can jump right in. But we could have maybe seen that if Microsoft was at the helm, and they threw it to one of their studios, too, so who knows, but...
More so commenting about the layoff news today, but yes. I don't want to get into that.
Maybe it would be on PC, which would be great.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, technically it is if you know how to dump your games, but.
Yes. You're saying the quiet parts out loud here, Doom. I appreciate it. all right. So I think the only other thing I think the biggest thing probably here that we haven't already chatted about, though it's something we've chatted about on the show before, is now how do we feel about Metroid Prime 4? When's it coming out? The chances of, does it drop? Is it part of this? I think that's the biggest thing on our minds is it part of this upcoming Switch announcement for the lineup for the rest of the year? Or is it going to be, you know, like a launch title for the Switch 2 or part of that library or somewhere in between? So, Doom, I mean, are you flinching now? Do you think after seeing this tweet, you think Prime 4 is part of that end game of, you know, end of life Switch lineup? I mean, we've seen it happen to Metroid before. We know this isn't completely out of character for Nintendo to do. So, I mean, when you saw that, did you think, I don't know, maybe Prime 4 is part of the Switch lineup and not necessarily a Switch 2 game? What are you thinking?
Absolutely not.
Not flinching? No, not flinching.
Not flinching. Okay. Not flinching. I do not think we see Metroid Prime 4 at E3. And by extension, because we don't see Metroid...
I don't think we see anything.
Not E3, yeah. I don't think we're seeing E3. No, I don't think we're seeing Prime 4 at the June Direct. And by extension, I also don't think we're going to see Prime 2 and 3 at the Direct, because I don't think we see those until after we see Prime 4. I feel like that is Prime 4 is going to be the next Metroid announcement that we see. I don't think I could be wrong. Maybe Nintendo surprises us, but I feel like that's the next round that Nintendo is saving for Metroid fans. They don't want to cause any more confusion on that front. they want people focus on Metroid Prime 4. That's the big one. And I'm fully in the camp that this is, at the very least, a cross-gen title that is going to be part of, I don't want to necessarily say significant, but I want to say part of the Switch, the Switch 2's marketing push, specifically in visual quality. And I just don't think that we see anything from that until the Switch 2 is announced, which we know is not happening at this Direct. And so I think that is a card that Nintendo is going to be saving.
I'm not going to lie, man. I'm flinching a little bit. After I read that tweet, I'm flinching. I think, because again, going back to what I said at the beginning of the show, I kind of felt like we had seen what we were going to see for the Switch. You know, I thought, like, okay, Paper Mario 1000 Year Door, Princess Peach, her game, those come out, and then the rest we see is like another 100 Clubhouse game, and I don't know, something else, some spinoff or something, like very small stuff. But now that they've said that there is some lineup to look forward to for the rest of the year, I'm like, Metroid Prime 4 could be part of that. Like, if they're still expecting 13 million units to be sold for the Switch, like, what other way, like, a good way to maybe try to sell those units would be to announce a big Metroid Prime game. Why not? On the other hand, they could also be like, hey, these Metroid games did well, but we released two big Metroid games on the Switch and they barely sold almost 5 million units. Like, maybe Metroid Prime 4 isn't going to sell that much. Maybe we want to put it on the Switch, which has a huge, massive install base to really get as many people possible to buy it. Or maybe they don't. I don't know. Like, I'm not saying that maybe Nintendo doesn't have faith in the games now, but I'm also like, after I read that, I'm like, man, this, I'm feeling deja vu, where like, they could drop this Metroid game at the end and then be like, oh yeah, it's backwards compatible on Switch 2. Because it's not like an Animal Crossing or a Mario or a Pokemon or a Zelda, you know, where like, those games, they really handle with care. The main ones, I think. And Metroid Prime, I will say, man, after I read that tweet, I was like, oh, I'm flinching a little bit, because I could see them making Metroid Prime 4 like the last hurrah for the Switch now, when I didn't really consider or think that.
I mean, it's definitely a possibility. I'm not, if we were doing the Samus percentage rankings, I definitely wouldn't give it a zero or frankly, even a 10%. I think it's above a 10% at the very least, but I'm standing strong.
Percentages. I have mine,
but I'm standing strong. This is at the very least a cross-gen title, and we don't see it until we see the Switch 2. In terms of the rest of the year lineup though, I'm not expecting anything too crazy. I'm expecting kind of more of the same of what we've gotten so far. These more kind of smaller releases, these kind of remakes, remasters, and ports. Nothing too exciting, unless you're a part of like the specific fan bases that they cater to, or if you're someone like me that hasn't played Thousand Year Door, Luigi's Mansion 2. It's like, hey, I haven't played these games yet. Here's a good opportunity for me.
Games.
I've played Luigi's Mansion 1 and 3. Haven't played 2 yet though.
Okay,
so this
is actually fair. That's fair.
Yeah. But and then Thousand Year Door, again, I'm brand new to RPGs. I finally played a Mario RPG last year, ended up loving it. Now it's like, man, now I want to play more Mario RPGs. So Thousand Year Door is kind of just coming out at the perfect time for me now.
It's a game that, like, I wish it was in 60 frames, but I'm going to buy it because it's one of my favorite games of all time, and it looks very pretty. So I'm excited about it. Yeah,
yep,
I
absolutely.
It's going to be like kind of remakes and smaller releases. I agree, but maybe they throw in that one big last, you know, hit marker there with Metroid Prime 4. Definitely not
Nintendo World Championships NES edition.
Oh yeah, well there's that too, which I'm curious what that's going to end up being. I have my Samus percentages though, where I wrote them down. I think right now it's a 60% chance Prime 4 is a Switch 2 launch title. 40% chance it's an end-of-life Switch title and it's backwards compatible or cross-gen with the Switch 2. And we hear about it in June. So that's why, that's how I'm 60-40 after that. I'm not going to lie. I'm flinching.
Okay.
I am flinching.
Here's what I will say. Mentally, I'm flinching, but like on the outside, I'm like stone cold. That's what I'll say on that. When you say launch title, I assume you mean launch window, not necessarily a day one launch title.
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily be day one. Mm-hmm. It could be just early life within the first 4 to 6 months. you know.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. I'm honestly, 4 months. And I was talking about this with Joey Ferris earlier, but I kind of see it occupying a similar spot as Xenoblade 2, where Xenoblade 2 came out in December of 2017, almost a year after the Switch came out. But you know, it was, you know, out of, you know, it was already out of the way of like all the massive AAA, you know, November and October releases, and it still ended up selling 2.5 million copies, which is makes it the best selling game of the series, even to this day after 3 and the 1 remake and all that. And so I could totally see Prime 4, maybe not necessarily December, but I could see it occupying, you know, this kind of end of the year of the launch window.
Yeah, I agree. Like if the console like comes out in like June, I see it coming out like November, December, along with the holidays and as those initial launch titles get popular again around the holiday season for sure. And then you mentioned Prime 2 and 3 now, and when mm-hmm. we might see those, and I also had a percentages for those. I honestly think there's maybe a 20% chance we see Prime or 2 or 3 anytime soon. I think if we do see them, I think we maybe get ports to the eShop at the most. I think that's where I'm at right now. I honestly don't think we might not even ever see a Prime 2 or Prime 3 port or
re-release. I am a firm believer in Prime 2, 3. Maybe foolishly so, but I'm a firm believer that they are real and that they are happening. It all depends on like how hard they're being worked on. If they're going as hard on Prime 2, 3 as they did with the Prime 1 remaster, and it's like it's the full deal, you know, full character remodels, full, you know, rebuilt visuals from the ground up. In that scenario, I could see them being announced before Prime 4, but I don't think that's what Prime 2 and 3 are going to be. I think at the most, it's going to be similar to like a Wind Waker HD or a Twilight Princess Skyward Sword HD. I don't even think it's necessarily going to be that, though. I think it's going to be similar to like what they did with Pikmin 1 and 2. It's, you know, 1080p, dual analog controls. That's it. And I think you could easily just like throw them out like, you know, a month before Prime 4 comes out, just like they did with those games.
Yeah, I truthfully think we get the trilogy like kind of upscaled or up-resed a little bit, thrown on the eShop maybe a year after Prime 4 comes out. mm-hmm. That's how I'm feeling right now. I really think like they're going to, I'm feeling more of like an eggs in one basket kind of thing where it's going to be all Metroid Prime 4 and there's nothing else that's really that they're worried about in terms of getting to Prime 2 or Prime 3. I don't know. I think that tweet kind of shook me now and where Metroid kind of stands. I'm so uncertain of where we're going, because if Metroid drops at the end of this year for the Switch, I'm like, we're not seeing 2 or 3. We're not seeing that anytime soon. Whereas if Metroid Prime 4 is a launch title, I could see us seeing that relatively soon afterward, or for the Switch 2 if it's a launch title. I could see it those games relatively rearing their heads again in some way, shape, or form. So it really comes down to how these next, what, 6-7 months go, and that we're going to find out. I mean, this Direct is coming in a month now. It's already May. Like, we're going to be finding out really the fate of the franchise, I think. The fate of the franchise in the balance in next month's Direct, I think. I'm going to put that down.
Yeah, simultaneously exciting and nerve-wracking times ahead of us.
Yes, that's literally how I feel. I'm excited. I hope it goes well. I'm like, oh, please, please don't suck. Please don't ruin this. Please just, like, hook us up with some good game. I'm excited for it. Yeah, well, I mean, that was a lot of, I think it's, like, news and, like, kind of just touch points on things that we've been, you know, looking at and talking about over the past few months and year and whatnot. But now it's really exciting that we're going to be hearing about new games in the, you know, within a month, potentially hearing about the Switch 2 by, you know, within the next year or so, Metroid Prime 4 one way or the other. This is probably the closest we're going to be now to like the next big announcement, like you said. So I'm excited to see where that Direct drops and what's in it, because it could be for good or for worse at this point.
When So I think, assuming, let's say that Prime 4 isn't going to be released this year. Let's go down this timeline for the moment. Because Nintendo, you know, in their forecast, 13.5 million units. That's a lot to write on without a major, without like a major tentpole title.
That's what I'm saying.
I feel like, because the Switch has not, it's one of the only consoles, perhaps ever, I don't know, but like it hasn't had an official price cut yet. Like, yeah, individual retailers have cut the price on it, you know, for like Black Friday or special sales. But Nintendo itself hasn't officially marked down the price like they have with all their other, even their successful consoles before. So, you know, Switch still is $300. OLED is $350. The Switch Lite is still $200. I wonder if like that's like what puts the Switch over the finish line is like, hey, you know what? You can get the Switch Lite now for $100. That's a pretty enticing deal to someone that hasn't jumped on yet. Even if you're a casual gamer and you're only really interested in maybe like a couple games, $100, that's a pretty good asking price to bring someone in. And, you know, maybe they're only planning on getting a couple games, but then they start getting really invested. It's like, you know, maybe I'll try out that Mario Tennis too. Or, you know, I heard some friends talking about that Breath of the Wild, you know? And so I feel like a price cut is somewhere on the horizon. And I guess the question is whether it would be a $50 or $100. I think they're going to go big and go for $100, which it may be foolish because this is Nintendo we're talking about. But like, I don't know if a $50 price cut would really cut it to get that 13.5 statistic.
You know, I think it really depends on how Nintendo views like the people who haven't bought a Switch yet. Like, do they think that all the people, like not all, but like the people who might can be considering a Switch but haven't bought it yet is because of the price or for some other reason? I'm thinking like, oh, maybe they think they're going to sell another 13 because, you know, 13 million kids around the globe this Christmas are going to, you know, turn 10 and they maybe are going to get their first video game console and that the Switch is a good option. In which case, why would you reduce the price? Because it's going to get bought anyway. If they do see it as people who are waiting around for a price reduction. On the other hand, like the console's been out for 9 years. Like, do you think people are really waiting around that long for a $100 price cut? If they really want it, they're going to get it. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they don't ever cut the price until probably maybe the next system comes out. Because in their minds, like the Switch is selling so great, like that they're forecasting 13 million units without the price cut. Or at least it seems like it. They're forecasting that. I don't think they're going to like do the price cut to facilitate that 13 million being sold. I think they're already forecasting that 13 million being sold at full price. So like, we don't even need to cut the price. 13 million units are going to be sold at full price, and we're forecasting that. So I would actually be surprised if they do chop the price until the Switch 2 comes out outright.
Yeah, I could definitely see that as well. That's a very compelling argument for sure.
Yeah.
When do you think we're actually going to get the official Switch 2 reveal? We get the name, we get the we get a general idea of like what the console looks like, what it kind of features it has. I feel like it's going to be a repeat of the Switch 1 where we get an October trailer, maybe 2 days in advance. It's announced on Twitter. And I kind of feel like it's going to follow a similar timeline on that.
Yeah, I can see that. I also can see them announcing it at the very end of this fiscal year, like right in February, and then release in like June or July alongside like a big direct or something like that. I don't know. I think, I always forget the Switch just came and like announced and was released so quickly. And I definitely think we're going to see that as well. It's going to be announced and then a few months later, it'll be available. So it's whether or not they're kind of targeting that, you know, that holiday season or like that the beginning of summer, end of school type vibe here. I'm leaning more towards like a February 2025 reveal. Like they get through all the rest of these games for the Switch. Holidays come. All those remaining big Switch games or whatever releases have come out and people could have bought them or not. And then February comes around 2 months later, we get the announcement, the full reveal, and then like June, May or June, consoles available. That's how I'm feeling.
Yeah, I could see that. And because originally, I believe the reports said at the earliest, and we're not talking about Nintendo, we're talking about like, you know, when it was, you know, when reports started coming out that the Switch 2 had internally been delayed, I believe those reports said that at the moment Nintendo was looking at March 2025 as the earliest possible date for the Switch 2, but not necessarily the final one. So it could still come out after that March 2025 date as well. And yeah, so there's still so much unknown on the horizon. But, you know, the fact that we are finally at this point where we are now finally in that transition period, you know, like I said earlier, it's such a relief. It's such a huge weight that feels like it's been lifted off my shoulders.
It's honestly, it's now gotten me so much more excited for what's to come, you know, because now we've been in such a long, like, state of what's next for Metroid. And I think even just for Nintendo in general, that now this is the beginning of the next cycle of what's to come. So yeah, it's like you said, it's a mixture of anticipation and a little bit of anxiety of where things can go. But I'm also excited for stuff like what's the new, like, big Nintendo IP maybe they're working on? Like, what's the new Breath of the Wild they're working on in terms of, like, impact of a game? Could it be a Metroid game that's one of those options? So it's really exciting to see where they can go just in terms of the franchise we care about, but also the rest of them as well. But I'm just... it's going to be one of those things. It's almost one of those things where, like, the June Direct is going to come by and I'm like, oh, I almost don't want to see Metroid. I don't want to, for once.
That's where I'm at right now. Yeah. That's where I'm at. I want Metroid on the Switch too. I feel, cause here's where I'm at right now. When it comes to Metroid Prime 4, I totally understand why a lot of people are like, I've been waiting 7 years for this game. I'm ready. Let me play this game now. I totally get that. And I think that's totally valid. I don't think anyone's wrong for thinking that. I'm kind of in a different camp where I'm not necessarily thinking like, oh my God, it's been so long since Prime 4 announced. I'm kind of in the camp where it's like, you know, I'm probably going to be playing a new Metroid Prime game in like, what, a year or so? That's pretty soon. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. And at the same time, I'm like, you know what? If I went through 7 to 8 years of waiting just to have Metroid Prime on this aging console, it's still going to look and play fantastic. I mean, it's Retro Studios. And if there's anyone I trust to make, you know, a visually compelling game, especially after Prime Remastered, it's going to be them. But to have that wait pay off where it's like, no, Metroid is on the next console, substantially more powerful, utilizing new tech. It's going to look unlike anything you could have ever imagined before. To me, that makes that 7 to 8 year wait so worth it.
100% agreed. And actually, as you were saying that, I'm almost wondering, like, because we were talking about remakes and re-releases, I wonder if we do see Metroid, it's hopefully not Metroid Prime 4, but what if one of the last Switch releases is like a Super Metroid or a Metroid Fusion remake from Mercury Steam, just to cap things off, kind of like a little Super Mario Wonder style, little big but still not massive release for the series.
I hope not. And honestly, I don't think they. I think Mercury Steam is working on Metroid 6 right now.
Okay.
I don't get me wrong. I'll be excited for anything Metroid. You slap Metroid on the name, whatever that subtitle is, unless it's like Federation Force 2 or Other M 2. I'm gonna be high as a kite. I'm gonna be super excited. And yeah. So hey, Super Metroid remake, Fusion remake. They're not my first options, but like I'm gonna be excited regardless. But I hope, and I'm pretty confident that Mercury Steam is working on Metroid 6.
I hope so too. I've made that sentiment clear. I want new rather than redone, and I can always go back and play Super Metroid and Metroid Fusion if I want to as they are. I want to see what happens after Dread, and who knows, maybe that's what comes out for the Switch. Somehow they've worked on that and got it out in time, but I doubt it. We'll see though. All right, Doom, any other thoughts here to wrap this up as we got some big Nintendo news, Switch 2 news, a little bit of retreading on what we've talked about on Metroid. Any closing thoughts here?
Pretty much anything else that would just be regurgitating what I already said. Again, huge weight off my shoulders. I'm glad we're finally reached this point. And you know, at this point, it's just, we'll see what happens to the June Direct.
Yeah, now it's a big, you know, waiting game of what we're gonna see for the Direct. Of course, we'll be covering that, especially if there's something Metroid related, but I think ultimately we'll be covering it because it is essentially a look at the very last releases, main releases for the Nintendo Switch, which after almost a decade is kind of wild to say. So exciting stuff, big news, the Switch successor finally official, and we'll be hearing about it soon. New and final Switch games, we'll be hearing about that soon. Hopefully Metroid Prime 4 news or some Metroid Prime or some Metroid news at all, we'll be hearing about that soon as well. I think that's about it for us here on the show. Of course, you can check us out at OmegaMetroid.com, Omega Metroid Pod, or Omega Metroid and all their socials on your favorite podcast platforms. at @DackCity_ here on my end, at Doominal Cross on the other end over here. Andy should be back on the show, I believe, next week. And I believe we'll be talking some more Metroid there. I'm not sure where we'll be going. I'm sure he'll have some thoughts on what we just talked about as well. But we'll be talking some more Metroid next week and coming soon. Doom, any plugs I'm forgetting here?
Not really plugs. We're still working on that Metroid Prime Remastered guide. Unfortunately, Andy's been sick for the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Hence why progress has been stalled a little bit, because he's been working on editing together that whole thing. But now that he's on the tail end of that, so hopefully we'll get back to work on that. And I know I've said it should be coming soon for a while now, but I really am hoping that we get this thing out soon, because I've written the whole thing. We've captured photos and videos for the whole thing. Yeah, it looks incredible, and I can't wait for you all to see it.
Yes, can't wait to see that as well. I'll be using it on my next run for sure. And yeah, Andy, if you're listening or not, get better soon. We're looking forward to chatting some Metroid and more with you. Thank you all for joining us on this episode of the Omega Metroid Podcast. We will see you next time. See you next mission.